This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
Jeep Freedom Days are here, where right now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2022 Grand Cherokee WK Laredo E4x4 for $369 a month for 36 months with $3,799 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease through Chrysler Capital. Lessee is responsible for termination fees. Current lease must end by 7/3/23. Extra charge for miles over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7/5/22. Jeep is a registered trademark.
Sour, yeah. Oh, now we're doing cannabis sour. Welcome. It said you're in the show. I thought we were in the show already, but now we're in the show. Welcome to cannabis hour. You are seeing Elliot Lane and Javier Jase here to bring you their cannabis insider knowledge. More Javier than me. How you doing today, Javi?
I'm doing great, and you just dropped a little bit of a bomb there.
I know. I'll get to it. We're going to cover that really quickly. I want to go ahead. We have a fun show with some really, really, really incredible insights ahead of us. Some people that have been in the space for a long time. So I'm really excited to have these conversations. So, Aaron, cue us up, my friend.
Baby.
Now we're back. Now it is time for the bomb to drop. All right. So we put emphasis here on giving you investing knowledge. You know, whether you're looking to drop some major bucks as an accredited high net worth institutional investor, whether you're an industry professional, whether you are a retail investor looking for the best stocks, we're here to provide that insight. Exciting news. We're going to be doing this every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Just in time for 420.
Just in time for 420. So we have, it's going to be Javier, myself, and of course, Patrick Lane, bringing you this news. We're going to put a huge emphasis on what's happening on the public side and bring you the best of the private side as well. It's going to be an exciting show. I'm going to learn a lot. We're going to bring on more guests. We're going to have Phil Carlson is going to be making appearances with us. Ideally, we'll have our friends like Alan Brockstein and Justin Ort come and drop investing knowledge. It's going to be very topical. So please tune in at 4 o'clock every day, starting on Monday. Cannabis Hour will, of course, be the same every Thursday from 4 to 5 with some incredible insights from executives around the space. Javier, I'm pumped, man.
So excited, man. So again, Cannabis Insider, our new show starting next Monday. So tune in. Don't miss it. You know, don't miss out. We have all of the information, you know, and we read you. We know what you're asking for. And today we'll be addressing some of those topics. We'll be touching on Sundial. You were asking about it. Very excited. And with that,
XHDX, you like Sundial. I used to own Sundial. I was a former owner of Sundial, but I sold. I gave in.
Didn't sell before time?
Wall Street bets would be disappointed. Did I what?
Did he sell before time?
I made money.
Okay, good.
But you know, I wanna touch on a few other bits of news while we can.
I know
can.
What your shout out is. I know what your first shout out will be. So go ahead.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure.
Okay. First shout out for me is to my girl, my friend, yes, Jessica Billingsley. She is the champion among champions. She wraps up another technology firm. This is Akerna, ticker KERN. One of my favorites in the cannabis space, and I disclaimer, I am an owner of Akerna, but they are in my portfolio, and I am proud to say so. I think she does a fabulous job. Javi, what do you think of that news, man?
I mean, it's very interesting. They acquired Viridian Sciences, an interesting acquisition, all stock. Goes to show NASDAQ traded equities are very valuable, and they're still, you know, a currency for acquisitions. We saw that ease up a little bit last year, but now it seems like we're back to it. A lot of large stock deals or cash and stock deals. In fact, another one that really caught my eye, and of course everyone's eyes, was Curaleaf's acquisition of Emec for almost.
Oh, that's what you thought I was going to start with.
No, no, no. I was thinking Kerner for sure.
Okay, cool.
I knew what your shout out was. That one, of course.
Fair.
But you know, again, in the Curaleaf deal, we saw something very similar, where a small portion, about $50 million of the transaction, was in cash, and the rest was in stock, right?
Which
so
is
we're back
so
to seeing a lot of that.
Yeah, listen, if somebody wants to hand me Curaleaf stock for and trade for something, I'm gonna take it. Like, I'm gonna hop on that deal real quick. Curaleaf, that's Q or Q. I throw in Qs randomly into my tickers. I don't know why. C-U-R-A on the
C-O-C.
Yeah.
And C-U-R-L-F.
On OTC. Yeah. So an obvious choice for us to talk about. But Akerna, another big one. And another disclaimer, I own this one too. Organigram. Getting 20% acquisition by a big tobacco player. More and more news coming from the tobacco industry into cannabis. It makes a lot of sense.
What do you make of that?
I'm not overly surprised, you know, by seeing that type of news. I mean, Organigram specifically, I don't have a crystal ball. I didn't see that coming. But like, I mean, tobacco getting more and more involved in the cannabis industry. I mean, A, it's an obvious entrance for me, but B, it's. I mean, it legitimizes it to an extent as well with the future of cannabis. And I do want to transition, not to stick too long on a lot of this news, because we do
have more news later.
We have more news later. I have a couple numbers I'm going to throw at you. Don't let me forget, Javi. But awesome. So we have a full slate of guests today. You saw who we had just now. We're going to start with OG in the space may be relative for Dr. Macias, but Dr. Shonda is a thought leader. A leader in this industry. We're going to bring her over. Ilera Holistic Holdings in Louisiana. How often do we hear about Louisiana cannabis companies? I'm so excited. How are you doing today, Dr. Macias?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're excited. It's always good to be talking about cannabis. You know,
it's always good to talk about cannabis, but cannabis in Louisiana is even more interesting.
I mean, like,
how so? I mean, do tell. You just
drop a one in the chat if you're ready to hear about what cannabis is happening in Louisiana. I mean, I don't know. We're about to find out, y'all, but one for me. Anyway, Dr. Macias, tell us about you and Ilera, and if you wouldn't mind just kind of a little bit of background on why Louisiana.
Well, first of all, you know, just with my background, being a pioneer on the East Coast, so I was in Washington, D.C. when legalization on the East Coast happened first. And so we had to work through all the kinks and all the different idiosyncrasies and regulatory changes, legislative changes, and, you know, really understanding how to make the narrative of cannabis stand out. And so when you think about coming down to the South in the conservative area of Louisiana, the great state here, you have to think about, again, using that model that you've established in other marketplaces and also your influence to be able to grow and start an industry in a whole nother state. So this is what we've been doing here for the last year and a half, and so excited they're making tremendous progress.
Now, let's play backwards a little bit here. Is Ilera your... did that start in D.C. or is that what you moved into Louisiana with? Is that Louisiana centric?
So we actually started as National Holistic Healing Center in Washington, D.C. as a dispensary in DuPont Circle. We're still operating there, but I gained partners. some lovely partners from Alera, Pennsylvania. And so we decided to come together and form this wonderful marriage called Alera Holistic Healthcare. And so that's how we came about. We acquired the company through an M&A, and we built it up from scratch together, and we're introducing medical grade products here on the marketplace.
What have you seen, you know, in common with, between these markets? What are some of the constants, and what are some of the differences? Of course, you know, one would do more differences than things in common, but you argue not necessarily.
Yeah, so definitely different markets, different regional beliefs, different psychologies. But one thing is the same as the patient and the patient needs for medical cannabis. And so with that, we really focus on the different ailments and conditions. DC, we fought for any ailment and condition to be legalized, and we got it. And that's the first thing we changed here. We want all patients to have access to the program. So we were able to change the laws here to have any condition or any ailment to be a part of the program here. So those are some of the things that are the same. Healthcare is definitely a major narrative in everything that I do.
I love that. So can you talk about the market itself and the landscape? And I mean, ultimately, the goal of my question is market share and where Alera plays in that.
Yeah, definitely. So it's interesting here. We're the only duopoly in the country, like completely. Yes. Two.
Oh my gosh.
But this is the inception of the program. So if I have to put it in years, you know, just like I have multiple kids, so I will tell you there's different stages to the game. But if I think about it in terms of where are we, we're probably like 3 to 6 months in. So we're still just growing out the program. We were able to get different forms. We have all forms except for the flower form here. And so we're just bringing them to the marketplace. A year and a half, we were able to build out the operations, introduce our first two forms, which were topical tinctures. We have our meter dose inhaler, which is equivalent to a vaporizer, coming to the market very soon, in next month or so. And that's going to be revolutionary here, especially with our introduction of our medibles as well as our concentrates.
Medibles. So, I love that.
Yes, medibles. And so we're really excited about that because the market opened. And, you know, what's interesting, in our legislative session last year, we were able to get any doctor that is licensed and in good standing here to be able to write medical cannabis recommendations. So that is huge for us, along with delivery, telemedicine, and 90-day supply. I'm like, this market is definitely progressing, and just using the tools that I learned from the DC market has really helped me push through quite effectively and efficiently. So we're excited about that. But dispensaries are not called dispensaries here. They're called pharmacies. And so with the pharmacies, we have 9 of them here, and they're located geographically throughout the state.
There's 9 total.
9 total.
Wow.
But one good thing, though, is that expansion is to come. Again, 3 months, you know, I have a newborn here. I have a very young you know, small business, which is not so small. We have over 30 employees now. We're going exponentially. Sharing the market has been a very cooperative place because, you know what? We're protecting the duopoly. Unlike other states, we don't want other cultivators here.
So really quick follow-up there, and then Javi, I'll let you ask your question. Are you able to get sufficient data and market analysis from 9 dispensaries in an entire state to kind of see where product trends are going? I'm curious what that looks like.
Yeah, after 3 months, you know, with a newborn, it's too early to be able to predict that. But we have aggregated data for different marketplaces and national data to support how we're going to roll out those different forms. And so that's what we're focusing on is our learned experiences and knowing what's coming up and what to expect. So we're really excited about how the program is going to break through in the next 3 months with the introduction of some really dynamic products that I'm very happy to bring to the patients in the great state of Louisiana.
Nice. One of the things, you know, you mentioned cooperation and collaboration, and I know you are personally very, very collaborative. And so, you know, also as a company, it's part of your ethos. And coincidentally, you know, our next guest is Asaji from Zalira Therapeutics, by the way, traded on the OTC as ZLDAF or ZLDAF. And you have a partnership with them, right?
Yes.
You work with them closely. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really important to talk about that. So everyone knows I am a patient advocate. I was from the beginning. Historically, my mom did the same thing. She was a nurse advocate. It was, you know, we're out protesting for patient rights when I was 10. So this is something that has been ingrained in me from a little girl. And I continue on the fight. So one of the things that we saw in the markets that we entered is that there was a high population of autism. And as a mother, and I have two special needs kids, that we wanted to make sure the parents had the right tools that they needed to be able to help them navigate different ailments and conditions like autism. So what we did, in fact, is license the products from Zalira Therapeutics to bring into our multiple markets and to help patients, whether they're children or adults with autism, and to give them a choice to be able to use medical cannabis as part of their treatment plan. So we launched here. It was really exciting when we launched last year. And then DC, we have an April launch, which is a Autism Awareness Month that we're going to do in our dispensary in DuPont Circle. So we're really excited about partnering and licensing the technology as Zalira continues to blaze through with the true pharmaceutical trending medicines to help patients.
Yeah, and also involved in this partnership, if I'm not mistaken, and I may be, but it's Hope Grows for Autism or Erica Daniels. I love her.
Yes.
I mean, is this the same brand? Is it Hope? Is that the product line that you're launching?
It is the product line, and Erica is definitely.
It's awesome. I love it.
Yes, it is. It is. So I don't know, Javier, if you know exactly the story. I do wear another umbrella. I'm the CEO of Women Grow. And during all these years, I've been working with parents that are refugees. That's what we call them here, politically correct or not. The simple fact that they have to go to different states that are legalized to get medicine for their children. And I always tell everyone, you cannot put a policy between a mother and a child. We're going to pick our child every time over any policy. And so parents would go into different markets, get medicine for their children and treat them with it. So now today, you fast forward, we know that Pennsylvania allows safe harbor of medicines in to treat patients with autism. And one of those on the leading forefront was Hope Grows. Erica Daniels has a son, Leo, that has autism. And Zalira came behind and said, we're going to help with healthcare options to help her children or her son with autism. So we were supporting that. I was in the room when that medication was being developed as a woman and parent advocate. And I was really excited to see it happen finally for all the mothers across the nation that needed a safe, efficacious choice for their child.
Totally. And really, let me just, go ahead, Elliot, if you want to.
No, you finished your thought. Mine's
yeah, open. No, I mean, you just kind of walk me into this, right? The topic for this show is African-American culture and cannabis. You are the CEO and chairwoman of Women Grow, another great organization I've been following for years. And you know, I would love to get your perspective on both, right? It's Women's History Month or Women's March or however you want to call it. And you know, it intertwines both topics here. So what is the perspective that you can provide there? What kind of hurdles do you face? What kind of opportunities there?
You know, it's so hard, you know, to really capture what that, you know, that essence is of being an African-American woman in this space. You know, when I first entered, it was, you know, I was taken aback by all the prejudice that I didn't know existed. And I'll tell you that, Javier, from my experience, yes, I'm a woman of color, and of Latino descent. So for me, I went to a diverse elementary school, middle school, high school, went to HBCU, Howard University for undergrad, graduate, and then went to Rutgers University for my MBA in supply chain management and operational analysis. So I hit cannabis and it was just, oh my gosh, it's a room full of white men and I'm the only person here. And kid you not, in those instances, I had one man walk up to me and said, "Can you go get me a glass of water?" And I'm like, I'm sitting at the table with you. And in that table, I was the most educated person and they still question why I was there. So these are the things that we face day to day. They might not be spoken, but you definitely feel them. And so I decided that at that point that there was a need to be more vocal and help mentors through mentorship, guidance, relationship building, other women and people of color in the space. So I immediately jumped into that forum and decided to participate in different ways. I sat on the board for the Minority Cannabis Business Association for 2 terms. Again, jumping in with Women Grow and continue to expand the conversation and awareness today. Being as though there's less than 4% of African Americans in the industry, and then you put women on top of that, I'm just a little unicorn right now.
You are. 8% of CEOs are women, like maybe 1% of business owners or at least dispensary owners mm-hmm. are African Americans. You're like, you say the unicorn. It's
well, I hate to do this. I wanna let you leave us with a final thought. And I think we're gonna have cannabis advisory council specials. And just in case our audience does not know, Dr. Macias is a part of our Benzinga advisory council, and rightfully so. You can tell she has a wealth of knowledge and far more educated than myself. And I don't say that in jest because it's so important. I want you to give our audience a little bit of a kind of final insight on what they can do when they're looking for investments, when they're looking for companies to follow. What questions can they ask? What can they look for, you know, to make sure they're supporting these social equity based initiatives that are more important than they were maybe a year ago, or maybe more in the spotlight, I should say, than they were a year ago.
Yeah. Definitely, Elliot. I think what's important is the things that we see trending in mainstream America today. I think that, you know, having a responsibility corporately and giving back to the community is important. And so when you think about giving back in the cannabis world, you really have to focus on social equity and social justice reform. And so it's really important that when you look for investors, they understand from every aspect that we should produce medicine that has accessibility to every patient, that is efficacious and affordable. So when I look at that, I think about who's responsible in those ways, but more importantly, who's protecting the patient. So historically, a patient became a prisoner. Anyone who used cannabis and was arrested for possession went to prison. And so right now we're breaking up that pipeline. We have to protect our patients. We have to make sure that they have the securities to be able to treat themselves for different medical and health conditions and not be incarcerated for it. So those protections is what I look for when I invest or even consider working with different companies. What are their policies regarding that? What does their diversity look like across the board? And are they using minority and women-owned vendors to help support them? Those are things that are really important to the bottom line and does add value, as we know historically in other companies it does as well.
I love that. Actually, a really good question came in. Jay, I don't know what market you're in, but the best channel for somebody who hasn't been, I guess, maybe a user of medical cannabis before, as you can see on the screen, where can they start asking questions and getting that education? From your site, I would imagine, but also, do you have any other insights?
I think that I have to go back to Javier with Erica Daniels and her son Leo. Hope Grows is a nonprofit organization. They have a website and they also have social media channels where they educate parents on the use of using medical cannabis for their children. And so I would start there. Erica always makes herself available for parents that have those questions. And then you can reach me, of course, Shonda at Women Grow, see Macias at Alera Holistic. I make myself available because I'm here just to serve the patients.
I love that.
It is true.
That's incredible. Dr. Macias, Dr. Shonda, it is an absolute pleasure to have you. We're going to have you back on very soon. I got through maybe a third of my questions. So more to come. Please check out Alera Holistic Healthcare. Dr. Macias, what is your website?
AleraHolisticHealthCare.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We're going to have you back on very soon. Really appreciate your time and insights.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Oh, I wish that conversation were longer. Javi, yeah. She's incredible. The insights and knowledge there.
You know, I'm thinking, you know, she's talking about her Latino descent, Shonda Macias.
Apologies for my pronunciation. Macias.
I'm just messing with you.
You can tell I'm from Kentucky.
Mexico. Dude, what happened? Yesterday, they passed.
Yes.
You know, the law passed for adult use.
The lower assembly body, correct? Not the second one.
So it's so the process goes, it's inverse to most other places. So it first goes to the Senate and then to the Chamber of Deputies. Now it passed the Chamber of Deputies, the legislation for adult use cannabis. But because they made some amendments, it has to go back to the Senate for those amendments to be approved. And then it will go to the president's office, who has veto power, but very rarely vetoes an initiative, and especially this one that's been in the works for such a long time, and that was Supreme Court mandated. So
who benefits? I mean, is that Chiron? Okay. Is it Clever Leaves? Is it Avacan? Is it, you know, Canopy? You know, I mean who benefits immediately from that?
Right now there aren't major active players in Mexico. We do have an article on Monday on a big pharma company, traditional pharma company in Mexico called Landsteiner. And they are really doing some interesting stuff in cannabis. And we'll have to ask our very good friend and board member, Emily Paxek, who is very involved in the Mexico market. And from what I know, her firm, Poseidon Asset Management, is the largest U.S. investor in Mexican cannabis companies. So
interesting. I did not know that. Well, that is very interesting knowledge.
We have her on a show, on our special for Women's March, which is airing on March 26th.
26th at 4 p.m.
A little bit of a surprise, but we will ask her on that show.
Yeah. So again, I believe Dr. Misagi is going to join us shortly. But I do want to say, if you need any type of assistance whatsoever and are interested in medical marijuana, Dr. Macias, is that right? Did I say that better, Javi? Dr. Macias?
Yep. Dr. Yes.
Dr. Macias, in my Kentucky slang, it is obviously available to you. She's incredible. She provides amazing knowledge. And we're actually about to speak with one of her partners. So I am very interested. I believe we have actually Dr. Oludare will be joining us as opposed to Osagi. So we're still going to get, I think, their global CEO.
Right. that name you get right. How did you know that? I had to ask.
Oh, because I know their PR representative very well. So I've heard her say it enough. If I don't get it right, she should
practicing
at me through the computer screen. They are listed Zalira Therapeutics coming up here. Aaron, let's move them over if we can, if they're here, if Oludari is here. It is OTC. Hey, Dr. Oludari, how are you?
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Now, ZL, is it ZLDAF or ZLADF?
ZLDAF on the OTC here in the US, but we're primarily listed in Australia, and that is ZLDAX.
ZLDAX. That's the ASX. Am I correct about that?
Yes.
Perfect.
Australian Stock Exchange.
Some great news that I think we need to touch on regarding your ASX listing. Javi, I hope you don't mind. We just jump right in. I think I had like 10 thoughts go through my head at once, and they probably all came out just like that. But Oludari, if you wouldn't mind, who are you? tell our audience what's going on at Zalira Therapeutics, my friend.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be here. I caught the most of Dr. Shanda's session. Isn't she just lovely and just a great partner?
So lovely.
It's such a tough follow-up to but I promise to give it my best shot. I'm a very simple person. I am Oludari Odumosu. Right now, I serve as the CEO, the global CEO for Zalira Therapeutics. Transitioning into that role in May. Until then, I have been the CEO for Zalira Therapeutics USA. And why that is interesting is because we are a true-born, quintessential biopharmaceutical company that is focused on developing and commercializing cannabinoid-based medicines. So we were born, we are an Australian, primarily an Australian listed company, but we have a very credible and unique footprint across the United States and Germany and the UK as well. So it's exciting to be here today. Thank you.
Germany, I hear that is going to be the European market. But it sounds like you're already there and getting yourself ready to go.
We have partners that we are working with in Germany, and it's a very exciting market, and we're very happy to start to really plant our flag in Germany.
Yeah, we've shared this stat here before, but currently about 80% of the European market, you know, in terms of legal medical cannabis sales, come from Germany. So huge market. Interesting also because, and correct me if I'm wrong, you can get insurance reimbursed cannabis, right? How does that work? Do you know?
In Germany, cannabis is treated like every other medicine, for which through their program, there is a path to reimbursement, which makes it. And in Australia as well, there is a special access scheme that supports medicines such as cannabis through the physician's prescription.
So Australia, Germany, US, but you have recently become the global CEO. So let's discuss, you know, that. I'm sure there's some interesting reasonings behind that, but I think the significant part of that is transitioning to US-based leadership. Now, you all obviously have success in Australia. You have success in Germany. US being the way it is with, you know, 12 states driving 90% of legal revenue. I'm curious as to, you know, what you see right now.
Well, you know, Australia operations for us remain a core and important part of our company's business. And why is that? Because that's the seat of our world-class trial, right? And we continue to run that with our in Australia with our Australian partner. The recent management changes are actually designed to strengthen our focus on the global market, in particularly the US. We're very unique as a company because we have the ability to do this clinical trials in Australia, and we have this credible footprint across the world. And together then, we can actually access all or most of the world's real revenue-generating cannabis markets. In the United States, we are quite excited because our THC-based medicines can be accessed through our licensing and partnerships, such as Dr. Shanda Macias' group at Ilera Holistic, Ilera Healthcare in Pennsylvania, and certainly Alternative Solutions in DC, and National Holistic. Why is that very unique? Because Zalira does not grow in the parlance of cannabis. We don't grow, we don't process, we don't dispense medical cannabis. But you could actually think of us as the first true virtual MSO, because we could rapidly accelerate the development of this medicine and then partner with licensed, credible partners in approved markets who are approved to grow, process, and dispense this medicines. It has allowed us to really spread the reach of our medicines across the United States very, very easily, and certainly give access to those medicines across the states.
Wow. You also mentioned, you know, there's a component of reciprocity in all of these deals, and you know, in the Hope deal. Can you elaborate on that? What does it mean?
Yes, thank you, Javier. So it's quite interesting. The Hope range of products that Dr. Ashanda spoke about through our partnership with Erica Daniels, and that's just a different story, a very powerful story of a determined mother who would stop at literally nothing to really, not just for her son, but for a large network of parents who are seeking cannabinoid-based alternative medicines for their children. It is through what we've now called our launch, learn, and develop strategy that we developed the Hope range of products. And that really, you can summarize it in when you see co-creation, community, customization, and choice come together at its finest, I take my proverbial hat off to Erica Daniels. So what we've done is that through this partnership and licensing in a pharmaceutical type model, our partners in DC at Alternative Solutions will be bringing Hope to the DC market. Now, DC has reciprocity with 32 states in the United States with approved cannabis programs. This expands access to those patients that are registered in those states, and they can legally purchase medical cannabis medicines at an approved dispensary while they're in the nation's capital. That sees about 24 million visitors a year.
That's just smart from a tax perspective.
Well,
at human, you would assume that if a state considers this to be medicine and another state considers this to be medicine, you should be able to get it on both states, on all of these states.
Absolutely.
You know, and sometimes, you know, regulations and laws aren't that logical. You know, we'll get there.
We get there all the time.
I totally believe so.
So let me dive in here. You have a partnership with Aunt Zelda's, right?
So Zelda Therapeutics was born in Australia, and through the work of people like Mara Gordon, mm-hmm. who is Aunt Zelda. So that was the original Zelda Therapeutics. Zalira Therapeutics was born from the merger of Zelda Therapeutics and the carve-out company called Ilera Therapeutics. It is mm-hmm. that marriage that gave birth to Zalira Therapeutics in 2020.
That's very interesting. I start there because we had a conversation with Mara. Javier, what was that, maybe a month ago? On here discussing the rollout of CBD in the U.S. and really, you know, it's been a bit of a money grab, you know. So I'm curious, can you enlighten me? I'm sure Javi probably has masterful insights on this already, but can you enlighten me as to what the CBD rollout, we'll stick to Australia and Germany, is comparatively? Is there as much discrepancies to the efficacies of these products?
Disclaimer, Zalira is launching or recently launched some CBD products, right, in the States, but leveraging the technology, right? So
yes.
You ask about Australia and Germany, you know, just to avoid conflicts of interest.
Well, you're very, very correct. And I would address it in 2 points if you allow.
Please.
The very first point is that the global markets are beginning to really think through their CBD approval processes. Recently, Australia has approved CBD to be used within very guided regulatory allowances. So that is a plus, and there's an opportunity, and UK is doing the same thing. There are very clear guidance around it. As it relates to Zalira and how we see the market, the CBD market, as you spoke, we are one of the few companies that really have multiple shots on goals, right? With both a pharmaceutical grade THC products that we license to partners, because we don't grow, process, or dispense it. But as we also have a growing portfolio of consumer brands, right, that focus on the medical benefits of CBD. So from an investment perspective, this will continue to be a very exciting company for investors, because they can expect us to continue to really turbocharge that two-pronged approach of what we call it, to get multiple shots on goals and multiple revenue streams. We launched our first oral care line of products in the United States called Springin CBD, which is based on the patented technology of black seed oil, which is a Nigella sativa, zinc, and then a hemp-derived cannabinoid. This is
What does he do? I really need to challenge this one, right? Because so many people, when CBD toothpaste came out, so many people reached out to me.
Oh, it's toothpaste.
Is this BS, right?
Yeah. I'm going to try.
When we saw blankets, right? You know, we saw CBD hummus, and some of these products work, others don't. But, you know, I did get that question a lot, like, what does it do? Why should I, like, you... Why is it better?
It strengthens the enamel, Javier.
Well, you know, first of all, the proof is really in the pudding, and you can buy the product today directly on springincbd.com or zaliraoralcare.com or on Amazon, and it is being distributed as we speak through multiple channels. You'll probably get to a city near you. But to address your point very particularly, I mean, Nigella sativa, which is black seed oil, already has an established and legendary history of being such a great cleanser that also helps to remineralize the enamel and also makes it difficult for plaque to build up, which is a bacteria forming around the gum, right? CBD, when you think about it, one of the very classical functions of CBD is that it ameliorates inflammation. So when you think about the gingiva or the gum or the gum lining, which is gingivitis, so to combine that and then with zinc is a known, the FDA just approved zinc as an antimicrobial, but also in a time where we're really, really, really focused on protecting the oral cavity and the capacity for microbes to bind and affect us very difficultly in such a time as we are. You can start to think about the implied value of the combination of these three. Those that have purchased and used it would tell you testimonially, as a matter of fact, that there is a difference, and always the benefit of knowing that when bacteria can't build up around your gums and your teeth, you don't you have less stains, and your enamel is properly remineralized, then you get the pearlies, right? So when you combine that,
I need that.
It's exciting.
That's awesome. Hey, I think we have a couple minutes here. So in respect to the overall topic of our show here, I'd like to get your perspective as an African-American man in this industry. Obviously, there's a long way to go in the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe if you could touch on that and really your perspective of the global industry and what we can look for, you know, maybe in the coming year on, you know, where social equity is going globally in cannabis.
Thank you for that question. I come as one, but I represent 1,000, and I stand on the shoulders of the likes of Dr. Shanda, people like Marvin Washington, you know, Gia, and the list goes on. I cannot count enough. It is on their shoulders that people like me get to come and have the door held open, the seat pulled up at the table, and somebody holding my shoulder down at the table saying, you can do it, don't get up. You belong here, you are smart, you have the education, the experience, and at this table, not only will you be represented, but you will have an opportunity to contribute. I regret the disappointment when you look at the numbers and how many people like myself are reflected at the opportunity centers in the cannabis industry. And I have committed, among as well as others, to really doing what those that have gone before us have done for us, so that hopefully next year when we're having this conversation, we would be hopefully tracking on a better scale, on a better metrics. On a global scale, it is my prayer that not only as cannabis is expanding as the large, as the biggest growing space in the world, the biggest industry in the world, that also all of the issues of social equity will also be captured in that, and we will really focus and be intentional about not repeating the mistakes of the past, and that, you know, when the die is cast, we would have said, you know, we did better. You know, issues of criminalization, issues of having proper representation and inclusion. Those are things that on the global scale, we have an opportunity to engage the consciousness of this new industry to really, really do better than before.
Eloquently said, Oludare, and thank you for that. Again, OTC.
Wait. Before he leaves, I have two real quick comments. One, Pam from earlier, you know, thank you for the love. And then Celine in the chat was saying you have a wonderful accent. Just wanted to pass on a compliment and know where it stems from, right? You know, it's always a mixture of different influences, right? When you move around the world, but where does the accent stem from?
I am proud to say that I am Nigerian born. I'm Nigerian by birth, and I am American by choice. So, I give so much respect to my heritage.
I love that. Dr. Odumosu, this is Oludare Odumosu, CEO, global CEO now of Zalira Therapeutics, listed on the OTC, ZLADF, and that is ZaliraTX.com. ZLDAF. Did I say it wrong again? I may have. I don't know what's wrong with me and tickers. Tickers and me don't agree, apparently. Oludare, we'll see you soon, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Have a good evening.
You too. Sir Dirty, of course we know Al Harrington. He has spoken with us many times. He was actually on one of the first two shows of Cannabis Hour back last summer. Yeah. You know, I do think representation matters.
Yeah.
And I think Oludare, Dr. Macias,
born as well.
Yeah, Dr. Macias, and I think our next guest, the CEO of Simply Pure, Wanda, are incredible success stories. And I can't wait to bring over Wanda, the CEO of Simply Pure, Wanda James, truly an OG in this industry. And I am pumped. I have been LinkedIn following her for ages. Yep. And I finally get to talk to her. How are you,
the
Wanda?
The magical Wanda James with that name, you know.
It's all WandaVision these days, right? Hey, how's it going? Hey, doing Elliot, great. How are you?
Oh, we're well. We're doing well. We have had an insightful discussion today touching medical cannabis in Louisiana. Apparently, you can buy cannabis in Louisiana. I didn't know that until today. You know, Oludare and his many partnerships across the world. But I'm excited to talk to you because you have, I think, one of the most interesting stories. You're a veteran. You have, I believe, the first Black-owned dispensary in Colorado, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, we were the first legally licensed in America since.
I mean, what's the story? Yeah, just tell a story. You cannot just drop that and
move on. So,
what was that battle like, by the way? Because I know it wasn't easy.
You know, and that's what's so funny. Everybody uses Colorado as this big, you know, kumbaya. Let's do it like Colorado did it. I mean, it was a dragged down battle out here. I mean, we had three former governors come out against legalization. The mayor of Denver is still not all the way down with legalization. I mean, he says he is, but he still works against it. I mean, it's been a battle to make this happen. And we just started another organization called BBRB, Black, Brown, and Red Badged, which is all of the Black and Brown owners in Colorado. And there are only 32 Black owners, 111 Latino owners, and 1,747 white owners. So
I'm doing the math in my head. I mean, to understand what the proportion is.
Can you repeat those numbers?
Yeah. Can you go again? I want to take a
break. I can go again. Okay. I got them in memory. 32 Black owners, 111 Latino owners,
mm-hmm.
and 1,747 white owners.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make, yeah, that doesn't add up. Even if you take into account like the proportion of African Americans living in Colorado and the proportion of Latinos living in Colorado, it just doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't add up.
It's crazy. And you've got to remember too that a lot of these owners didn't show up until, you know, 6-7 years ago, you know, most of them within the last 3 or 4 years. So Colorado has done a really good job of being not where it needs to be with cannabis ownership. So, but here we are, we're trying to move forward. You know, social equity is just now coming to Denver 11 years after legalization happened. So yeah, this is a crazy battle. It's a crazy battle.
That's insane to me that you think of a state like Colorado or California and you're like, that's, you know, you wouldn't think of any type of like wall or obstacle being put up there. But like, I mean, of course, I'm able to think that, you know. Well,
Colorado was famous for doing what a lot of people aren't doing now, but they prevented anybody that had a nonviolent drug felon from being a part of the industry. You couldn't own and you couldn't even work in the industry for many years. So yeah, it's been really pretty hostile toward what has happened. And on top of that, 34% of the arrests in Denver before legalization were Black people, and we make up less than 9% of the population.
Hmm. Now, you know, a little bit on the positive note, fast yep. forward, you know, yep. Simply Fewer. Tell yep. us about this beautiful project of yours, this beautiful company that you created.
You know what? It's my happy spot. And I tell everybody that because it really is an amazing company. And it's full of people that really, you know, love and respect this plant. You know, we started off with medical marijuana, so our roots are based in medical, but my husband and I have owned, you know, restaurants for 25 years, been in politics. So the idea of customer service, of hospitality is all what has gone into this dispensary. You know, it really is just a happy place to be. All of the products that we have on our shelves are products that believe in, you know, purity and doing the right thing. So, you know, we're kind of the whole food market of dispensaries. We're not the Apple store, but we're the whole food market of what we do.
I love that. So, you know, I was looking through your website. You know, I won't hide that. I love it. There's a lot in there, a lot of great information. So again, I'll highlight you were a vet, but it said you're making vets a priority. Yeah. You know, in access to cannabis, I would imagine. But could you dive a little further into, you know, A, how, and B, is that something that, you know, or where are we in that? Do veterans have as much access as they could in a state like Colorado?
Well, yes, no, maybe. You know, the VA here is open to vets using medicinal marijuana and CBD. Open doesn't mean that they are encouraging vets to use it, right? And so, you know, those ongoing issues. And it's the veteran community that is saying that we want cannabis. We would rather use cannabis than opioids. And I think that the military is finally starting to come around, you know, to what this looks like. But it took Colorado a very long time to even make PTSD one of the conditions of which you can have a medical marijuana card. And why is a medical marijuana card important? Because your cannabis is then not taxed at the same rate that it's taxed at for, you know, recreational use. So, yes, vets have access to it like everybody over the age of 21. I just don't see a reason why they should have to pay more for it.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
We do have a very large investor audience. So, I mean, can you tell us a little bit about where your company is standing right now? Are you raising money? Did you ever think of going public? I don't know, leveraging your very public profile? I don't know.
We're growing and we are in the middle of a very large raise right now. Our raise is based in a number of different places. First off, social equity. We're offering up Simply Pure as a true franchise opportunity for people who are in the social equity realm. In other words, We want social equity people to 100% own their store. We're happy to help invest if they need that, and we'll talk to them, you know, individually as partners. But for the most part, we want to be able to give you the background of being able to have the back of the house, you know, for marketing, for, you know, compliance, banking, and being able to move forward with the strength of having a company that's been around for 11 years behind that franchise. That's actually, you know, currently in the space of making it happen. Two, we are growing our wholly owned dispensaries as well, too. We're looking at a few of those across the nation. But more importantly, we're bringing out our B-Cause line, which is our cause-related cannabis line, of which we're going to be taking approximately 5% of sales and putting that toward what I consider the most important thing is, which is education. So we're going to be looking at sending Black and brown kids to a full ride to law school, hopefully working with the HBCUs. Wow. Because I've looked at it from the standpoint of, if cannabis could send people to prison, then cannabis needs to send people to law school. And I personally believe, and being the first graduate in my family, that once one person completes college or a secondary degree, it changes the entire family. So for us, we see it as paying forward the opportunity to help on all levels of Black and brown ownership and moving cannabis into a place to fix the harms of what's been caused by cannabis prohibition.
Amen. BW, I agree. Amen. So, you know, sorry, Javi. I'm curious, you know, a state like Colorado, I think of formerly MedMen, now is it Schwazze? You know, a company like that's rolling up a ton of dispensaries. You know, it seems like they're acquiring everything they really can at the moment. How does that affect a company like you? Do you see, or is there a collaboration aspect there in terms of furthering, you know, what you're trying to do? Or are they putting as much effort into this as they should? I say they, looking at a lot of these larger MSOs, not necessarily calling out Schwazze or anything like that, but I'm curious what you see from maybe the more corporate side.
So once again, I try really hard not to beat up on anybody else's business model, because business models are just that, you know. We've owned restaurants for 25 years. McDonald's is a great restaurant chain. I would not choose to have a McDonald's, but it's a fine chain, you know, to have if that's what you have. And it made more money than our restaurants. So I guess from that standpoint, it's a good thing. My concern with cannabis, though, to be honest with you, and all of these big corporations is, it's not good for the consumer. It's not good for what cannabis can be. We've seen people throw an enormous amount of money at these large hedge fund backed multi-state companies. The products that are coming out aren't necessarily, you know, as good as they could be. The understanding, we haven't seen any movement with any of these big organizations in their C-suites, in their board of directors, in their management companies. We don't see them reaching back and training people of color. We see a lot of people of color as their trimmers, you know, entry-level bud tenders, but we're not seeing a lot of Black and brown people moving up through the high-end paid positions. We're definitely not seeing people of color in their C-suites and their board of directors. So from those kind of standpoints, they're missing the mark entirely. White male hedge fund backed companies don't have a reason currently to step into the space and say, yes, cannabis is here to right the wrongs that have been done to communities of colors for over 100 years. And they're not seeing the reason why, because it's money, 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 money. And I get that. You know, I come out of corporate America. I get it. But after a while, you know, it doesn't mean that we have to agree with it and that it's a good thing. I'm hoping that we see a strong opportunity for small businesses to succeed in the cannabis space. And remember, the SBA calls small businesses anything under 500 employees, right? So once we get to legalization, hopefully we have the opportunity to get lines of credit, to go into banks, to be able to get loans. Because right now, a company like Simply Pure, I have to give away, you know, 20% of my company to get, you know, $300,000 to change the lights in my grow facility, which is absurd. You know, nobody wants to be held to those kind of standards, which is the other reason that we're doing a large raise right now. And I'm happy to share that with any of your investors, because we want to be able to raise enough money to be able to be the best possible partners to companies that are coming up underneath us. And I've used the term dolphins and not sharks. because I'm tired of hearing about everybody shark the deal. We're the sharks. We're the sharks. We're not sharks. We're dolphins. We are the best possible partners that you can be. And everybody gets excited when they see dolphins playing in the water. You know, they get in the water with them, not run out of the water terrified.
I love that. Dolphins are my favorite animal, by the way. So I'm on board, Wanda. My fiance can back me up there. So you have incredible insights. You know, let's go to a little bit more. You know, you talk about your raise. Let's talk about operationally, product wise. You know, talk about a market with data. You know, in Colorado, what works for you? What are you? I mean, flower obviously, but is anything upcoming? I know you had edibles back in 2010. So if anybody knows how popular those are, it's you.
Yeah, we were one of the largest edible companies in Colorado before, you know, adult use happened. And we're looking to do that again. You know, we're an interesting company. We do about a third edibles, third flower, and a third of concentrates. I will say 2020 was interesting. That flower went through the roof. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that that was probably across the board. And my guess is when you're at home, people don't know what you smell like and you're on a Zoom, I believe the tried and true was always going to be flower. You know, that's the OG way of consuming. But all of the other new ways, you know, concentrates, edibles, vape pens, you know, tabs, Papa Drops from 1906. So many different ways to consume. I think that flower will always be, you know, the OG way of doing it and will always be there. I think that edibles are becoming the more popular way in mainstream society, and especially as we're able to buy cannabis at places like Whole Foods Market and your local 7-Eleven once legalization happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now I'm just seeing Elixinol. That's the only thing I see at Whole Foods in North Carolina. but that's exciting. You know, once we're in legalization, my opportunities to purchase cannabis become quite different in Raleigh, North Carolina.
And that's so true, right? Because, I mean, it's funny that, you know, 68% of Americans right now want full-on access to cannabis, you know, legalization. And give me one other issue in popular culture right now that 68% of Americans agree on. I'm absolutely 100% sure that there's not anything that we all agree on to that type of number except legalization of cannabis.
Absolutely. So we are at 5 o'clock, Wanda. Obviously a ton more conversation here to have, but let us wrap it up with what your raise looks like, if you wouldn't mind, and if there are interested parties, where they can reach you.
So we are looking to raise $20 million. With that, we are right now, we have got LOIs for processing and cultivation in, we're looking growing in Massachusetts, California, Illinois, New Jersey, Ohio. And, you know, obviously we've got expansion happening here in Colorado. We are looking at really growing the social equity market to actually do true social equity. And we're looking at growing what it is that we have been doing for 11 years. We run a tight ship. We always have. If folks are interested, you can get in touch with me at WandaLJames.com. I can be found on all of the social media at Wanda L. James. Of course, simplypure.com is our website. And I would love to be able to talk to folks that are interested in helping move, you know, America's first Black-owned legally licensed company forward. We're real excited about what we have going.
Man, I wish I was a high net worth investor right now.
ArcView Capital is also doing our raise. So, you know, there are broker dealers in the raise as well, too. So you can actually go to ArcView Capital and they've got the information as well.
We know Ken and Gene very well. That's what
we need to get accredited. You know, that built wealth, get accredited. Go invest.
I think we're all working on that hobby.
We're working on it. We're getting there.
Wanda, thank you so much for being here. You know, there's a lot of work to do in this space. It's really exciting to see companies like yours, you know, get the attention they deserve. So please keep us updated. And we hope to continue to bring visibility to Simply Pure.
And thank you guys. And Javier, you're amazing. You're everywhere all the time with all the great stories. So thank you. Appreciate you guys. Thanks, Elliot.
Thank you. Awesome. Javi, wonderful show, man. We obviously had some amazing insights from Dr. Macias from Louisiana and Pennsylvania and DC, Oludare from Zalira, Australia, Germany, And then multiple markets here, but really DC is a focus of theirs. And then Wanda, Colorado, but expanding in the very near future, you know, depending upon their raise, but really exciting trio there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and talking about raises real quick, I think we couldn't, you know, we didn't have time to mention this, but Verano did raise 100 million Canadian, and Silver Spike.
They needed more money?
On the NASDAQ, you can always use more money. That's relative, but you can always use more money.
If you all don't know Verano, get to know them. They're going to be a name.
Yeah, massive. Like after the merger, ultimately there will be like $2.5 billion in market cap.
Yeah, what is GGTTF? Do you know offhand?
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe it's GTBIF. And that's Green Thumb, but GGTTF.
No, it's GETEC. GTEC out of Canada. Very interesting play. They've grown a lot over the past few months. So I actually do like them. That's Happy Muhammad, I believe, dropped us that question in the chat. And I wanted to make sure we touched on that. But again, Xelira Therapeutics, their ticker, let's see if I get it right this time, Javi. OTC listed ZLDAF. Was the stock of Xelira. But listen, everybody, we have so much to talk about. We never get to it all here, which is why we're extending this conversation to be every day starting Monday at 4:00. Join us. Javier, Patrick, and myself will continue to try and bring you that insider information. But you can also get it where, Javier? Where do you drop all your news on a daily basis?
Benzinga.com/cannabis. You were asking about Sundial earlier. We have a very interesting article this week about two different analysts who see more downside for Sundial growers. Find out why on Benzinga.com/cannabis. And of course, try Benzinga Pro, right? If you're a fast-paced trader, you cannot wait for the news. You need to get them before they hit every other media outlet. That's Benzinga.
Benzinga Pro is growing like crazy. It's growing like a weed. Get on board. It's got incredible insights. I love it. So Benzinga Pro, Benzinga.com/cannabis is our editorial side. If you are an investor, a retail investor, check us out at the end of the month. We have some biotech cannabis-focused companies March 24th and 25th at our small cap conference this month. So much. Benzinga community is growing rapidly. We appreciate you all being with us. Javi, love you. You're the bomb.com. We'll see you next week. We're going to be back next week, y'all. Appreciate you.
Monday, you'll get fed up with us, but you will not get fed up of the amazing information that we bring. So bear with us.
All right, y'all. Stay tuned after this for After Hours. It's been a lot of fun. We're excited to be here with y'all. We'll see you Monday.
Peace out.
As long as I continue to make everything look pretty and shiny on the outside, I didn't care how miserable and ugly I felt on the inside. I realized that I deserved a better me, so I can be the wife and the mom that I really wanted to be.
If you're ready to get real about addiction treatment, call Karen. A recent independent study showed that 94% of Karen patients were still in recovery 90 days post-treatment. Visit caron.org/real. Karen. Real results. Real care. Real about recovery.
Jeep Freedom Days are here, where right now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2022 Grand Cherokee WK Laredo E4x4 for $369 a month for 36 months with $3,799 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease across their capital. Lessee is responsible for termination fees. Current lease must end by 7/3/23. Extra charge for miles over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7/5/22. Jeep is a registered trademark.